Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What a beautiful morning. It's starting off just a little cloudy, a little damp, a little cold. Winter is coming. Fall is here. I love this season. I mean, I am just not a summer person. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you for sharing Reality Spirituality Radio all around the world. Who am I? What is this show about? Thank you for asking. Reality Spirituality is a show that is a term that I use that really describes our everyday life. What is going on from the smallest incidences, from the smallest events, from the smallest circumstances, everything that happens, everything that we experience, everything that I experience. I like to really talk about myself instead of we, because I've learned that I have no clue as to what's going on with you, but what I do know is you are on a specific journey, you are on a personal journey. And my journey began years ago when I asked the universe for two things. I wanted to be happy, and I wanted to live to my potential. And this journey of discovering what and how, what does being happy really means, how to be happy, when to be happy, what does that even feel like, what does it look like, what I have discovered, my dear audience, is that, hey, good morning, Robert. What I've discovered is that this happiness, this feeling that I'm talking about in the show has really nothing to do with anything that happens. And I had an experience this week, and it was really, really profound to me. I was, it's so good to see you here. I wish you could call in and we could chat. I don't know if you have time to do that, but if you call in and chat with me, because there's nobody calling and no one in the chat room. But anyway, I've got this great story, Robert, about what happens. And if you've been listening, you know I had surgery a couple weeks ago, and last week I went to physical therapy. Now, it's funny because I'm healing so quickly, and I like to say it's because I'm an athlete. I'm healing so quickly that I've gotten rid of my brace 2 days ago, not on crutches anymore, and I actually went to the doctor a couple of days ago, and he says, you know, massive tissue damage, ligament repair, burrs on his hips, and file down, all of this other kind of stuff, and he's really surprised at my recovery. But let me get back to the story. So I'm in physical therapy. This was on a Monday, just this last Monday, and a gentleman was next to me, and he was an older guy. And so I like to just strike up a conversation with strangers. It actually depends on my mood. But I asked him, I said, well, what are you in for? And I come to find out that he had hip surgery, a different type, but it was the same, you know, they go in with a scope as opposed to cutting you. It wasn't hip replacement. So he had surgery 3 weeks before I did, or 3 weeks, a week before I did. And I said, oh, really? Who's your doctor? Same doctor. My doctor, his doctor, same doctor, which just happens to be one of the hip specialists in this medical group. So we were chit-chatting about our doctor and how great, you know, how much we liked him. And then he started telling me more about himself. I said, so you don't work? You know, I'm retired. I used to be in entertainment. Well, listen, used to be in entertainment. You know, my ears are perking up. Really? Because if you haven't listened to the show before, you know that I want reality, spirituality, my vision, my vision, my intention, what I want. And I use I want in quotes because I know it's not what I want. I really know it's not what I want. But I'm throwing it out there just in case the universe wants to oblige is to have a show on OWN, reality, spirituality on OWN. Okay, so when he said entertainment, I said, well, what type of entertainment? He says the music business. He used to manage Fleetwood Mac, and this goes back old school to my old school people. Fleetwood Mac, who else? Carly Simon. He named a few really prominent people in the industry, and he was telling me there was a time in his life where he was really – you know, he's like doing all this revaluation right now. And he told me he was 71. 71, you look really good. He says, I'm doing a lot of reevaluation of my life. He says, because I used to, you know, when he came up, it was in the 70s. He even said he took drugs, blah, and he, you know, people in that, not people, but he said that he was very temperamental. He got angry. His artist got angry at him. I mean, it was a real scene, man. And he was really... he was really, you know, feeling like I'm different now. I'm different. So then I said, quite frankly, I said, oh, so you're telling me that you were an asshole, in, you know, during those times. He says, yes, I was. And I said, well, we all were assholes. No, I said I was an asshole at, you know, quote unquote asshole at one time in my life also. And he, we kind of chuckled over that. And I said, and this is one of my lines, I said, have you heard of Oprah Winfrey? Have you ever heard of her? And he looks at me and he says, yeah. And I said, well, I'm the next Oprah. And he looked and he kind of could feel me and he says, really? He says, tell me more. And, of course, I gave him my whole spiel about my book and the radio show and people calling in, asking questions. And he says, well... for the last 10 years, oh, this is what he asked me. He says, do you have a reel? A reel. He said, for the last 10 years, I've been working with David Letterman. Now, my mouth just drops open all the way down to the floor, and I said, David, you know, David Letterman, he says, yes. He says, if you have a reel, if you have an idea for a show, he said, send me a reel. I'll give you my email address, which he did. And I know the people that program Wild World Pants, David Letterman's production company, and I also know Oprah's people. Now, here I am, happiness specialist, and I was like, what? Really? He says, yeah, send it to me. Yeah, you know, I'll forward it on to the people that make the decisions. And then he was talking a little bit more about his relationship with David Letterman and how he decided, he says, you know, David Letterman is retiring next year, and he was thinking about whether he should wait until David retired. And he says, no, I'm going to retire early. Why should I wait? You know, I want to enjoy my life. He says, but I'll get to the people, get it to the people that you, oh, hi, Robert. I'll get it to the people. Oh, yay. Okay, perfect. Perfect, yes. Thank you. You're definitely going to be on. I'll get it to the people that, in fact, let me do this right now. Oh, I have a caller from the 919 area code. And who might this be? You're live on Reality Spirituality.
Good morning, Rebecca. It's Robert here.
Hi, Robert. This is for audience. This is Robert Sharp. And Robert Sharp, tell my audience a little bit about you and your radio show and when it can be heard and your website and your new book. And just let's do a little commercial for my dear, dear friend.
Okay, but first of all, the first thing I have to say is I can't believe how pretty you looked going into surgery. I mean, it just doesn't seem fair.
Okay, well, let me say I did put a little bit of eyeliner on, just a little bit of eyeliner, and I probably put a little bit of rouge on my cheeks, a little bit of, listen, now you don't want to look like a hag, but yeah, I was actually pretty cheery. I wanted to get it over with, Robert. Thank you so much for the compliment.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, when I saw that picture on Facebook, I thought, boy, I mean, you would have thought that you were ready for your close-up.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, you know, got to represent being happy, right?
Exactly. See, that's the challenge about writing about happiness is it's like you, but, you know, and that's also actually the blessing, too, is because you are constantly reminded about happiness. So you kind of have, in order to, you know, walk your talk, you need to be happy.
Yeah, you know, you said it. In talking the talk, I'm checking my, you know, checking myself, meaning that if I'm supposed to be representing what I'm talking about, representing my philosophy, being happy regardless of the circumstances, then I, you know, if I'm not practicing it, then I'm a fraud.
No, well, you know, I think that's the beauty of what you do is because I mean you're very honest about it. You know, you talk about, you know, the challenges that you have, but also how important it is to shift that up, you know, and I think that reality part is what people really appreciate.
Yeah. That's one of the things. Thank you for that. And that's one of the things. It's really important that this journey is about our reality, our moments by moments, our day by day. It's not when this happens or something else happens or we achieve this goal. It's about every moment being connected to the universe. Thank you for reminding me and the audience of that.
Yep. Well, it's my pleasure. I just love hearing you on the weekend mornings. It also brightens my day.
Okay. So are you really interested in my story so far?
Yes, I am. I mean, David Letterman, hey, you know.
Yeah,
yes.
So and before we get anywhere, this is just a little tease, but Robert Sharp has his own radio show. Please tell him about your radio show and your website before I go on with my story. It'll make them stay tuned anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, my radio show is called Bringing Inspiration to Earth. It's here on Blog Talk Radio, generally from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, though I do change the time depending on the guest's availability. And basically, I have guests from all around the world who have inspirational stories in the area of spirituality, self-help, special programming in environmental awareness, and a children's corner. And my website is www.viteradio.me.
Yay. Okay. See, isn't that wonderful? See, listen, one of the things that I love about having this radio show and connecting to people all over the world is that I connect with such good and such like energy. And even though we've never met, I swear you're family already. You're part of my family, period. You just are. And one day we will meet, one day.
I look forward to that day. I'm going to have a special Jell-O dessert.
You remember my Jell-O story. We're going to talk about that. And I'm just going to, when I meet you, I'm going to chew your face off. That means I'm going to really just chew, not, you know, like with teeth marks, but just gently chew your face off. That's what I like to say when I really want to meet somebody and just get all in them. So let me start with this story again and back to, yes, met this guy, you know, just by chance. Oh, by chance. He's next to me on the physical, on a table next door getting his own therapy. And he says that he knows David Letterman. Rebecca, give me a reel. I'm going to forward it to the right people, blah, blah, blah. This is my email. Send me all your information. And so then I'm thinking, okay, and my blood pressure's going up, my eyebrows are going up, I'm like, you know, smiling real big, feeling all good, and yeah, feeling all like, energized and happy and woo-hoo, like a big woo-hoo. And so then I said, you know, I got to seal the deal. I said, well, when are you here next? This is my first time talking to him. And usually when you have physical therapy, you know, you either do two times or three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday. And he was on the same schedule I was, which was Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday. And he says, well, I'll be here on Wednesday. And 10 o'clock, I said, well, my appointment's at 9:30. I said, I'll be sure to see you. Meantime, I had his email address. And I am flying high, Robert, and my audience. I am flying high. And so then I go home, I get my websites, I get my Twitter accounts, I get, you know, all my info, email, beep, and I said, I know you asked me for a reel, but there is a video, a short video on my website that is, you know, a minute long. Will that suffice, or do I need to send something separate? Never got a response back. And I'm pretty cool with that because, you know, okay, no response. People are very busy. I'm not really, well, they didn't respond to me in 2 days. Oh, my God, the world's going to end. I'm really not like that. And so I didn't say anything, but I knew I was going to see him on Wednesday, right, because he said he was going to be there. He had an appointment at 10 o'clock. Still didn't hear anything on Tuesday. Wednesday, I go in. Listen, this is how funny I am. Talking about the makeup on Wednesday, I looked so cute. It didn't even look like I was going to physical. I looked like I was going to some kind of a luncheon. You know, usually you go to physical therapy with your, you know, hair back, no makeup, you know, raggedy clothes. Listen, I went in there like I had a lunch date. So I get, you know, I'm on my table, 9:30, he's supposed to show up around 10, that was his appointment, and I'm there around 10 o'clock, and he's not coming in. And then I asked one of the assistants, I said, I won't say his name, I said, let me just say Jim. Is Jim coming in today? And this is what I got. I said, oh, we can't discuss appointments. We can't discuss other patients with anyone. If you have a question or for information, you have to really direct it to them. It's part of our privacy issue. And I respected that, but I'm thinking, of course. Well, 10 o'clock rolls around, no Jim. 10:15, no Jim. And I'm thinking, okay, universe, this is a good one. The expectations of seeing him on Wednesday, he said he was going to be here, not here, no response for my email. Okay, all right, universe, thanks for nothing. And what I discovered was, Robert and my audience, was something else. We all know about expectations. I mean, I've talked about expectations and being attached to an outcome for so many years, and how expectations and attachment to outcomes really subtract from happiness. And so before I even got there Wednesday, I had a thought in my head, and then I'm just going to share this with you. I had a thought in my head, but, you know, in my life, nothing has really happened the way that I thought it was going to happen. Nothing really happens. Nothing really unravels or unfolds the way that I planned it or set it up. It's always some kind of curveball here, or a road, or, you know, or a detour here, and then all of a sudden I you know, wound up having a radio show or wound up finishing a book. I mean, for me, my life, I've never just, you know, okay, it's going to be this step, step one, step two, step three, step four, and boom. And Robert, is that the same for you?
Yes. I will say that when that kind of thing that occurred with you happens to me, what I find is that the purpose of it was for me to really recognize that it is something that I truly want. You know what I mean? It's like to tap into that, like that joy that you had, that excitement, that anticipation. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was meant for you to embrace that, you know, to recognize
feel that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, and there's more to the story. So, okay. So then on Wednesday, no show, still no response from the email. And again, I said, like, for me, I don't know. It's just things happen. For me, things happen. It's kind of like magical. They happen, and, you know, how did I get here? How did I get, how did I get to this spot? And so then the universe was reminding me, and I want to ask you your opinion, Robert. The universe was reminding me that this connection, what, you know, talking about being happy, and when I say happy, it's a word that, you know, everybody's got a definition, but mine is being okay with what happens and being okay with what doesn't happen. And this connection, this universal connection, and the universe was reminding me that my connection with the universe, my sense of feeling well-being has really nothing to do with what happens or what doesn't happen. And it was a reminder of that, because this feeling when I'm really connected to the universe, it's just like it's in I almost start crying, and I can get that feeling just sitting alone in a room without anything happening. What do you think about that?
Yes. I mean, I agree with you that it's the reminder of the connection. I mean, and you know, you talked about, you know, like even sitting in the room and experiencing that feeling. You know, it's to me, it's about, you know, tapping into that that joy, you know, and that connection. And, you know, it's wonderful. You know, I love the fact that you know, don't attach to outcome. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I often talk about too, because it's, you know, it's kind of the, it serves a couple purposes. I mean, if things don't go the way that you expect or want, you know, it can lead to disappointment. So if you release yourself from attachment and an outcome, then, you know, you also avoid any potential disappointments, but also you open yourself up to things happening even better and quicker in ways that you wouldn't imagine if you don't attach to a particular outcome.
Okay, so now you're bringing up a really good point when you're saying attachment to outcome, because that's really, really important. And another thing about attachment, when I have attachments or expectations, attachments and expectations are always future. They're always future moments, future thoughts, future.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
the future is an illusion, and the past, you know, is also, and it's really about the moment. So if I attach, it means I'm in the future and I'm not living in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. True. That's very true. And now I agree with you with, you know, kind of really being in the present moment. I mean, you know, that is really the only time that we have to make things happen. The only thing I sometimes
disagree with me.
Have an exception. Well, no,
please,
I mean, it's not that.
No,
I disagree,
please,
with
please
you.
Disagree
you,
with me. That's come on, that's, yeah, stimulating. Please,
yeah,
don't agree with me.
I mean, because I truly, like you, agree, you know, that the present moment is really, you know, the most important part where we should be putting our attention. The thing with the past, you know, first of all, with the past, I completely disregard. To me, the past is over and done with, and so I really don't spend, or I try not to spend, you know, time in the past. Now, the future, I think that, you know, kind of projecting a little bit into the future or envisioning a particular future, you know, daydreaming about, you know, maybe what it is that I want or maybe how things could happen. I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, true that, you know, things may not happen that particular way, but in my opinion, that, you know, taking a present moment and looking at a possible future just sends out the energy that this is something that I would like. you know. So, you know, if the stars aligned and it is in my highest good, then yeah, this would make me happy, you know, like your home, you know, to have something unknown, you know, that, mm-hmm. that's not right in the present, right at the moment, you know, but you know, that's an attractive future, you know, and, mm-hmm. yes. and so, mm-hmm. so anyway, so, you know, as far as the past, yeah, I agree, you know, that's over and done with. The future, you know, spending some time in the present, envisioning a particular future isn't necessarily bad.
And I totally get it in what you're talking about, having an intention or throwing planting a seed and throwing something out there. And mm-hmm. yes, I totally get what you're saying. And so this is what I've had to do. And then I'm going to ask you a really good. I'm going to ask you a really juicy question. If you want to play, you want to play?
Sure, I always want to play with you.
Okay, good. Yay, Robert. Like you have a choice.
I do, but my choice.
I know you do. And this is what I've had to do. And I know. Listen, I've done the visualizing, and that is a feel-good moment in the present, feeling good about visualizing or having an intention and you know, feeling that intention. I get it. And I have to say for me, because this is, I'm just sharing, I've had as what I've learned for me is the only feeling, and what not the only, I'm not going to put a statement like that, but what is really important to me is the feeling I have in this present moment, because our present moments do create our future moments, is to have that feeling, this feeling of connectedness, centeredness, happiness, contentment, everything's in order. That feeling, I want that feeling in the future moment, and everything else that comes is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. You know, that, you know, the, you know, I mean, it's truly, to me, it's, you know, the emotions of the moment are what drives us, you know, into action and drives what we manifest and what becomes our reality and that kind of thing. So I'm very aware of and stress the importance of feeling the moment, you know, whether it be good, you know, or excitement or even sad or, you know, even disappointment, you know, then yeah. Those things are, you know, those are equally as important.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. Now we're talking about emotions and sad and disappointment and all that stuff. And just to remind my audience that the emotion is what it is, really without a label. You know, I put labels on things, and I don't. And anytime I put a label on it, oh, like I'm anxious or I'm excited, or the labels are the things that, for me, I really practice these days having the experience without judgments or labels. Because once you have a label, then there's a judgment about the label. Maybe not always. But I found fine for me. So it's like just have the experience without any labels and without any judgments about it. In other words, just feel it. Just feel it and feel something different. And it's all good. So I think that's what we were saying earlier. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I agree with you regarding labeling, because, you know, once we label something as good or bad or in a particular box, it immediately brings up all kinds of preconceived ideas and really limits our ability to kind of pass through what it is that we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said, and I want to also say, because I have a few people in the queue, but nobody wants to speak with me. But anyway, if you want to speak, just click on that number one, and you can always call in, everyone, at call in at 646-564-9619. This is a live show, 646-564-9619, and ask your question. You said, oh, it was such a good point. Meh. What was your? What is the last thing?
What is the last thing?
Well, I was talking about the fact of the labeling. You know that it. You know, when we label it as good or bad.
Oh yes.
Yes. Yeah. That.
Labeling.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yes, labels are all created, all man-made, all, wanting to be more universal as opposed to man-made.
Yeah.
Now, Robert. Hello.
Yes. Hello. Yeah.
I love your voice. Your voice is such a cool radio voice. Robert.
Oh, thank you.
What has been in the last week? What has challenged you? How about this? What created an energy shift with you? What are some of your quote challenges or experiences that you energy shift here? Energy shift. Let's share.
Okay. Well, I have to think about a challenging one, but one of the things that happened this week that I thought was kind of fun, we both have had occasions where we schedule a guest, and the guest doesn't show up, the no-show.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
And I'm like you, I kind of roll with it. Unlike you, I'm not real good at just, impromptu talking. So quite often,
you're doing pretty good now. Come on now.
Well, see, I have you to work with. So, just chatting by myself. I'm talking to myself as one of my strongest points. So
yes. To my son's chagrin, sometimes I can get on a roll, and that's right. And he's got to go, Mom. Got to get off the phone.
Oh, funny. Well, that's a gift. So, I had one today, this week, that was a no-show. And it was interesting because, I had the publicist, we confirmed everything, back and forth. So, and one of the things that I have recognized is whenever that happens, it's one of those cases where I find, in hindsight, generally, that the guest, it's kind of a good thing that the guest wasn't there because, one of whatever reason. But anyway, so I've always, the first couple of years of the show, it really got on my nerves, but, whenever it happens now, whatever
it
happens
really,
now,
it really stuck in your craw.
It did, for days, but that craw hasn't been visited in a while, but this particular guest, he has a wonderful book about, the future thought and science and that kind of thing. Great book. I really, really enjoyed the book. I was really looking forward to it. He's a 75-year-old, PhD guy. I'm not sure all of the details. But anyway, he didn't show up. And so I wrote to the publicist afterwards, this didn't work out for whatever reason, and just wanted to let you know. And then I kind of moved on. But in the back of my mind, I thought, no, I was really looking forward to this guy. And generally, whenever someone stands me up on air, I don't reschedule. Excuse me, because I don't know, it's just a matter of respect. Particularly, unless there's a good reason. And there have been cases where, I've had one guy who was taking his father to the hospital, or one woman's, mom had just passed the night before. So those are understandable in the course
Those are still no excuses, but keep going.
You're right. I mean, they could have easily made a quick call ahead of time and said, listen, this has happened.
I was just kidding. I was just kidding.
No.
I was actually kidding that, but keep going.
Yeah.
I guess
but
I was the only one laughing
on
that one. Go ahead. Like you said, it's inconsiderate, lack of respect, manners, consideration.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
but anyway.
And okay, keep going. So then what happened? What happened this week?
So anyway, so with that, then the publicist calls me on the phone and said, listen, you know, you're sorry that this happened to you. You know, I'm going to go ahead and try. I haven't been able to reach him. I'm going to call his wife and see what happened. And so anyway, I mean, he was like worried that something happened to the gentleman. You know, I'm 75 years old, and you know, that maybe something health-wise. So wife said, oh, you know, I don't know what happened. I'm going to go ahead and go home. You know, I told him before I left about the interview. So anyway, the guy, you know, calls up apologizing profusely. I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, and in my mind, I'm envisioning this, you know, this older man with this, you know, scientific mind who's probably, you know, the idea of doing a radio show, you know, right in the middle of the afternoon. I could see where it would fit this mind. So, you know, of course, you know, the apology is signed. And I just, because his book is so good and because I really wanted to chat with him about the topics that he brought up, I told the publicist, listen, you know, I would really, you know, I'm open to rescheduling with Dr. Maynard if, you know, if he's open to it. And then the publicist wrote back, I just can't believe that you're, you know, willing to do that, you know, that, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, in his experience. And I just, you know, said I really liked his book and I really want to talk to him. So, like, long story shorter, the no show guest decided that he wanted to compensate me for my broadcasting fees or do some advertising with me to make up for for not being there. And what happens is the publicist ends up proposing that this guy pay for 2 months advertising for my new calendar, you know, an inspirational calendar.
Oh,
on
my
one
goodness.
Website. And the guy says, sure, you know, where do I send a check to? So, I mean, it was truly lemonade from lemons, you know what I mean? It was, it was one of those cases where, you know, just by taking a soft approach and an understanding and compassionate approach to the situation, really came back in a real positive way. And, you know, and so anyway, it was one of those.
Let me say this, because you, there are so many really good points that you brought up, reality, spirituality, really, really good points. From how you talked about in the beginning, you know, years ago or a year ago when you, like you said, you were annoyed when people didn't show up, really, you know, got in your craw and all that kind of stuff, and you know, and now you've elevated or just gotten to another level, if you will, another level of being, and not rescheduling, and then now to just this week having a totally different approach, and that's what growth is about, people. It's really about just being a different person or having different perspectives or behaving differently in your life than you did a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. That's really what this whole what this whole journey is about, is just evolving and growing. And one of the things that you said, which is really, really important, is being open. I don't know if you said it or you know what, I'm going to take the credit. Let's be open. No, we both said it. Open to all possibilities. In other words, when I make a statement, I call them bold statements. Well, I'm not going to ever, and she did, and I did, and that's never going to happen, and I know that. Then I'm still going into the future. I'm still, you know, giving the universe a bold statement, like I'm going to or I'm not going to. And what I've discovered for me is to be open to all of it, even if someone has. Is there an echo in around here?
I heard one just a little bit, the last few sentences, but that was it.
Okay. Well, even though whatever anybody does, in other words, Okay, just a real life story. Real life story. You know, I've been gone from my regular 9-to-5 job for, you know, almost two weeks now, 2.5 weeks. Well, there have been few people that text me, call me, how are you doing? And, you know, my thing is, well, you call me and say, how are you doing? You don't have to do it every day. Please don't call me every day. But, you know, check in, you're okay, surgery went okay. And there are people that don't. There are people that didn't. Now I'm on my ego. Well, they must not care, and well, never talk to them again. I'll never look at them the same way. Blah. If they really cared, they would have checked in. You know, all of that's ego for me. Just talking about for me. And what I found is, I'm not really being open, and I'm setting, like, I'm giving the universe like an ultimatum, or this is exactly in other words, I'm going to be open to whatever relationship, or I'm just not going to make any bold statements. Just be open to all of it, all the possibilities. Open your arms and embrace it all. That's what I really want to say.
Yeah, well, you know, and kind of regarding that, first of all, you know, about people, you know, not checking in and that kind of thing, and the ego, I have to let you know that even though I don't think that I really commented on Facebook, I did check in on you. So,
oh, you know, stop it, Robert. Listen. I can feel, this is what I'm saying. I can feel when people care. I can feel
okay.
It, and I can, when mm-hmm. I say care, it's, you know, concerns, you know, something. Just a little.
Right.
Listen, I don't care if I didn't talk to you for a month or two. I feel you, Robert. Come on, you care. You care.
I know. No, but yeah, but and the point with that one is that, you know, the idea of, you know, things happen behind the scene. You know what I mean? I mean, there are so many things that we don't see that, you know, that are happening around us. You know, and so, you know, in that particular one. So now. So anyway, that particular one, that was what I wanted to make a comment about that. And then, gosh, you said, no, I kind of lost my track on the second one, allowing things to happen.
Yeah, let me just say this about, because I really want to clarify this with this people calling or not calling or sending me notes or anything. What I really want to say is that's my ego in control. My ego is telling me these people don't care. That I really want to make a distinction between that, because it's really never about another person. How I feel or how I respond is never really about another person. It's really about what's going on inside. And when I look at someone else and, well, you don't care, you don't, and put all this judgment on them, it's my ego doing it. It's really not me. So it's just knowing the difference between the two has been my savior to, oh, hello, ego. So you want me to be disturbed because nobody sent me a text? Oh, you want me to be annoyed and hurt feelings because somebody didn't say, send me a get well card. So I just want to really stress that, because one of the things I wanted to talk about in today's show is this, like I said, what are the lies that are told? In fact, that's going to be my next book, the major lies that are told. And one of them is that somebody else or something else or some circumstance is really in control of my feelings, how I feel, or someone can hurt my feelings, or someone can offend me. It's just not true. Robert?
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, on that particular one. Yeah, it is, you know, and it's wonderful to be able to differentiate, you know, to isolate the ego, to recognize the ego wanting to do certain things, or, you know, kind of trying to direct your thoughts and your actions. You know, it is, I think you can avoid a lot of of confusion and sadness and disappointment by recognizing, you know, that's the ego, and just laugh at it. You know, it's like, ha-ha,
yeah.
You want me to do what? You know, that, guess what? I know better now. You know, that's just, you know, and I understand ego. You want to live and you want to guide everything, but
yeah.
I'm in control.
Yeah, you know what? You said it. In fact, the other day I was telling my son, I visualize my ego as, you know, a deck of cards, and there are two cards that are the jokers. And my ego is the joker. It's always, you know, real slick, behind the back, blind side. Oh, really? Up, down, you know, make me blame, make me feel it's someone else and all this. I mean, it's, you said it. It's not serious. Line up. Let's start having some fun with this ego instead of taking it so freaking serious. It's only 5 years old anyway. So I've got another caller. Hold on, Robert. Hold on, okay? Because I've got some callers.
Sure. Absolutely. Go ahead.
We got some callers, and thank you so much for being my guest today. My guest, my chatter, all that. Hold on, just a second. We're going to go to my other caller, area code 415. You're live on Reality Spirituality. What's your first name?
Hi, this is Jessica. I just wanted to say
hi.
Thank you to you.
Hi, Facebook, Jessica.
What was I going to say? I, you know, you stick in my mind as far as, like, being happy, not letting anything else in life, like, affect us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in my mind the other night. And I mean, I'm not, I don't need to go into all of what was going on, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let any of this bother me. I'm just going to sit here and smile and walk around and be happy because I'm just happy to be in the environment. So thank you for that.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. Listen, I was having a conversation with my 29-year-old son the other day, and I said, you know, I actually had to write a book proposal for this book that I put out in April, Reality, Spirituality, Truth About Happiness, which the publisher wants to change the title, but I found out I don't have any control over that. But one of the things I had to, and 85 pages, I don't know, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but one of the things I had to talk about was why happiness is so important. Why is this thing called happiness? Why do people even care about it? Why do you even care? And it's a global issue. It's not just the states. It's not just a certain community. It's not just a culture. It's a global issue. And on the first page of my marketing section, which is probably 20 pages, I started it off with this. One of the most renowned, famous performers in our time, Beyonce, and she is global. She is. I mean, come on. She is talented. She has everything. She has looks, dance, sing, acting. She's family, gorgeous, everything. She has everything, talent. Did I say that already? And in one of her songs she performed at the VMAs just in September 2014, and one of her songs, I don't even remember the song, but before the song is about 2 minutes. And, you know, she comes up, you know, she makes her stage entrance real slow, smoky, and you hear this voice, and it says, Beyonce. The most, you know, whatever it says, and it says, what do you want more than anything else in the world? What is it that you dream about more than anything else in the world? And Beyonce says, to be happy. Now, that was the first paragraph in my marketing section. This thing about happiness is, I mean, can you imagine, and I'm getting off in a tangent, but can you imagine just being at peace and being okay with whatever happens in your life and whatever doesn't happen in your life? And, you know, you're, in other words, you're just rolling with it and feeling good about life, and you know that it's a journey, and you know that sometimes it's going to feel differently. You know there's going to be, you know, little curves and detours and bumps in the road, and sometimes it's going to be smooth sailing, and sometimes you're going to be up, and sometimes you're going to be down, and sometimes it's going to be all of that, but it's still cool, and it's still good, and you're still enjoying it. That's what I'm talking about here. Hello, is there anybody there? Hello?
That never used to be of interest to me. I never thought about, I don't think I ever thought about being happy. I don't think it was ever a goal of mine. I don't know. I was going to say I don't know what shifted, but I think I do know what shifted. I think it's just, you know, higher level thinking. I think I just realized that, like what you said, there's going to be ups, downs, whatever, and the best way to attract what you're, the best way to control what you're attracting into life is just to be happy. That's it. And, you know, period, exclamation point.
Okay. So see, now you're coming to another, I'm getting chills. You know, everybody knows when I get chills, it's just because I've heard the truth. Now you're coming to one of the most important, one of the things that I talk about all the time is that that is my goal. Happiness is my goal over all other, over money, over where I live, over what I accomplish, over all of it. Because if you notice, if you look out into the world and you see people with everything, everything, and still annoyed, still, let me just say this. I have a person that's really close to me, and he's a dignitary. He's an officer. He's in dignitary protection, which means he only travels in the most elite. He's been in the company of four presidents. He's met the Dalai Lama. He's presidents of other countries, Queen of England, blah, 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 blah. And this guy will tell you in a minute that the people with all of this, with all the power, with all the money, he says, they're no happier than the person that's a homeless person with their attitude. In other words, something can piss them off, or something can switch them up, or something can annoy them just as easily as the guy that's homeless. So it's not about what you have, it is about this happiness or whatever, this contentment, this internal contentment. That's what this whole game is about, number one. That's why it's number one in my book. It's my number one commitment, and everything else can take a back seat. And this happiness goes, you know, it infiltrates into your lives. Your relationships will be better. Your life will, not that you're not going to have challenges, but it's just going to feel different. You're going to feel like, I can handle anything. Bring it on, universe. I'm here. I can do it all.
Well, for me, it's like, who do I want to be? You know, that's who I want to be. I want to just be happy. I don't want to be fazed by things. I don't want to be this moody up and down. Mm-hmm. And also, I'll tell you something, even though it is a practice to learn how to stay in this happy space, I think it is an easier goal to accomplish than X, Y, and Z. I think that's also been another realization for me too, rather than, oh, I want to make X amount of dollars, or, and I don't know if this is like a cop-out for me, because I still have certain dreams, but it's like, well, this is a goal that I can accomplish today. And that feels sexy to me. You know, that feels like, that makes me feel better about my life than trying to get a certain job or try to whatever. Mm-hmm. That's going to be maybe somewhere off in the future, that it's like, well, I just, my goal, let me be happy today. Yes, I accomplished that. You know, I feel good.
Good point. And really everything else just starts flowing. If things just start flowing when that is, give me one of the things that before I make a decision, or before I say anything, especially relationships, you know, people listening, you know, my challenge is with my mommy. My mommy is just a, you know, challenge, quote unquote challenge. But one of the things that I've done is you're right, Jessica. It really simplifies life. These goals of this intangible goal of this feeling of well-being and happiness is an intangible goal that is easier, and it actually makes you feel lighter. All these things to do on my things to do list. I wish I had a things to do list. I don't have a things to do list. I do things when I'm inspired, but I don't do things because it's on a list of things to do. It's just too heavy. I want less things to do than more things to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, and I do that as well as far as the inspired, but what do you, I heard you say that you have like a full-time or part-time job, but what do you do with all your time then? Because, I mean, you only get inspired a lot of things, so.
I do with all my time? As little as possible, honey. It's funny because I've told this story before a long time ago. It's about I was brought up in a home where if I'm not productive, if I'm not doing something, then I'm A, lazy, I'm B, wasting time, I'm productive, produce all my life. And it's just been maybe the last 2 years, maybe 3 years. And being a happiness specialist, if I have to teach happiness, I was really uncomfortable sitting, doing nothing, meaning I could sit in my nice little chair here, watch TV on Friday evenings, not really do anything, watch TV. I mean, you can't do less than just sitting watching TV. And so I would really feel bad about myself. Jessica, have you heard this story?
No, I haven't, but I've been through what you're talking about. So,
go ahead. Okay. So this is it. Not doing anything, sitting around, not doing anything, and then the universe says, "Well, you want to be happy, right? We want you to start feeling good about you doing nothing." How can I feel good about doing nothing? I mean, is that even possible? That's what we want. You're a happiness specialist. We want you to feel good about doing nothing. Okay, Friday, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, all weekend long, do nothing. This is at least a couple years ago. And finally, after a while, I could sit Friday, Saturday, Sunday, get nothing quote-unquote accomplished, do absolutely nothing, maybe watch TV, no reading, no nothing, no writing, nothing. Just zoning out, doing nothing. And do you know how long it took me to feel good about myself doing nothing, Jessica? Take a guess.
Yeah, probably a while, I would think.
Thank you. Give me a guess.
Well, I went through that, and you just made me realize that I, even though I think I'm doing nothing, I'm still doing research on the internet, so I'm not even doing nothing. So, I mean, for me, it's been years. So I don't know. I'm thinking since I don't know how long it's taken for you, but for me, it's definitely been years. And I'm not even doing it. I think I'm doing nothing, but I'm not. I'm researching all the time.
Listen. When I say doing nothing, honey, I mean doing nothing. And this is the key: do nothing and feel good about yourself.
Right, but watching TV is still doing something, I think. I'm talking about doing nothing as far as, like, sitting out in nature and just sitting.
Okay,
like
well.
Like a homeless person.
Yeah, okay. Well, for me, I don't know. To me, doing nothing is watching TV. But anyway, I agree. But I want to let you know how long it took me to feel good about myself doing absolutely nothing, even if I'm just sitting, watching TV, not watching TV, but just sitting, doing nothing for 3 whole days, getting nothing accomplished Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How long did it take me to feel good about myself? True story. Yeah, guess.
Know, years.
Play with me and guess.
I don't know. 5 years, 10 years.
Jesus. Now, see, now you made a really good long guess. It took me over 2 years.
Right. Okay.
It took me 2 years to get to the point where I can still feel good about whatever I do and whatever I don't do. I was telling my son the other day, I am tired, sick and tired of criticizing myself and, you know, judging because I didn't do this and I didn't do that and criticizing. And it took me over 2 years to feel good about Friday, Saturday, Sunday, getting nothing accomplished. So to answer your question, what do I do most of the time? Nothing. At least I look at it as nothing. There are some days I don't feel like doing anything. This book proposal that I had to write for with 85 pages, it was due in June. It was due in June, and I just finished it the week before I went into surgery, so the first week of October. And I didn't, you know, one of my friends says, well, just work on it an hour a day. Work on it an hour a day, and then you'll get it done. I didn't want to work on it an hour a day. I worked on it when I felt inspired to work on it, and then certain days I didn't want to work on it. I didn't want to, and I still felt good about myself. I don't know about you, but I have this thing about really feeling bad and criticizing myself forever. I mean, that's how I was raised. Critical, critical, critical about myself.
Yeah, me too. I think a lot of people are raised like that.
Well, I don't really care about a lot of people. I'm just really talking about me and you.
Yeah, well, I was raised like that. Yeah, I was raised like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really time to look in the mirror and accept all of it and feel good about all of it and give yourself a pat on the back. You know, the universe gives us an A+ in every moment. We get an A+. We get an A+. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to accomplish anything. We get an A+ from the universe. So I only want the universe grading me. I don't know about you. I don't want society grading me. I don't want people grade. I don't want myself grading me. If the universe has given me an A+, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have come to the end of the show. You have a question, Jessica, about anything that's going on?
No, I just called to say thank you to you. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, let me just bring Robert back up. Hey, Robert Sharp, meet Jessica. And you know what? You people that called in, I have other people that have called in, but they really don't want to say hi. But you people made my show today.
Well, it was a pleasure to be with you there today, Rebecca. And hi,
Jessica. Yay. Thank you, Robert, and thank you for your insights. And thank you, Jessica. And you two are not only part of the audience, you're part of the audience. You're part of the
family. Oh, thank you. You have an echo.
Yay. Until tomorrow, everybody. What a great show. I want you all to remember Robert Sharp has a radio show on Inspiration. Well, hold on a second. Let me bring Robert back to get the correct, you know, all the info. Robert, go ahead. Please plug your radio show and all that again, please. Hello? Robert?
Hello there. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. So tell everybody where they can find you, your radio show, and your website.
Yep. It's Bringing Inspiration to Earth. It's here on Blog Talk Radio. Usually 4 to 5 p.m., but my website, www.biteradio.me, I have a calendar that's got, like, the current month and the next 2 months' worth of shows that are scheduled so people can check out what's up and coming.
Yay! Thank you again, Robert, for being part of Reality Spirituality on this wonderful Saturday morning.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate chatting with you. You always brighten my day.
You know what, audience? See, that's what this life is about. I mean, did I plan this? Did I plan this moment? Did I plan having people on? No. Did I plan the show? No. it's just, you know, life is just about just the journey, enjoying the ride. And I want to thank all of you for listening to Reality Spirituality. Again, the show is heard every Saturday and Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Like Reality Spirituality Facebook page. And you can get my book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, on Amazon right now before it is changed to another title. Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness on Amazon. And just to remind all of my listeners, who you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always growing. You're always evolving. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again tomorrow. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Talk to you all tomorrow.
Yeah. So it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.